of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Again, good to see everybody. Good to have the Davis family come on in this morning. We do love them and appreciate them very, very much. Amen. Good to see everybody here this morning. Ezekiel 34. I was, me and Jonathan been working on a little office there at the house, and I was in there praying yesterday. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me about some scriptures out of this chapter. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Yea, eat the fat, and ye clothe, ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. It sounds like the Lord's upset with the shepherds. Huh? Verse 4, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. I know a few pastors like that. I said, I know a few pastors. I hate to tell you that. I've seen some pastors seemingly almost have a whip when they pastor. God help them. They need to read this scripture. Verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field, and when they were scattered. Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And none did search or seek after them. I want to skip on down here to verse 11. Now the Lord's still talking, and he says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, wait a second. In verse 6, he's talking about the shepherds, and he says none of them will search or seek after that sheep that's went astray. What kind of shepherd that wouldn't watch over his sheep? But he told them in these verse 6 verses that none did search or seek after him. But then he says in verse 11, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, then again he said, Even I will both search my sheep. Wow. And seek them out. I want God come looking for me if I go astray, don't you? Huh? Verse 12, stay with me. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. Wow. And will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark sky. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Amen. Now, go with me to the book of John, St. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. Very familiar text here. St. John, chapter number 4, and verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left. He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Judea was in the south. Galilee was in the north. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, he must needs go through Samaria. It sounds like, and I can't believe this, if you wasn't in the men's class this morning, Brother Jonathan did tremendous this morning. Can I hear an amen from the men's class? Brother Jonathan had no idea what I was going to preach on this morning. And he actually said my title of my message right in his sermon. When I read these verses in verse chapter 34, it's God's upset with the shepherds and they're not doing their job. And then God said, I'll go after them. I'll seek for them. I'll search for them. And then Jesus said that he left Judea and going to Samaria, and he must needs go through, Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Sounds to me like we have a God that don't mind going out of his way. I want to preach this morning on a God that goes out of his way. A God that goes out of his way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. I thank you for your presence, Lord, as you dealt with me yesterday in prayer. I pray, Lord, you help me to get it across as you gave it to me. And I pray, Lord, for heaven's sweet unction. I pray for clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me to say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say this morning. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I want to preach this morning on a God that goes out of his way. Amen. I mean a God that goes out of his way. We got a creator, these scriptures imply, that doesn't mind being inconvenienced. Have you ever met anybody that they wouldn't go out of their way to help nobody? Very few people like that, but they're not going to go out of their way. But these scriptures, God said, these sheep, shepherds, haven't done their job. And he said, I will go out of my way to search and to seek after these sheep. Amen. John says we got a Savior who doesn't mind paying the price for a soul. There's people that go out of their way. I mean, does anybody know anybody go out of their way to encourage somebody? Speak a kind word, send a card, send a letter, etc. Why they do that? Just to show you how much they care. Anybody ever just call and say, hey, I don't need anything. I just want to let you know I love you. I'm praying for you. And they'll just go out of their way. Amen. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me and spoke to me yesterday about, amen, God that goes out of, amen, his way. I remember when I pastored in Hazard, Kentucky, and we had a bus ministry going, and one of the bus drivers, the team captain of one of the buses, was unable to fulfill his job any longer, so I began to ask for volunteers. Who would be interested in driving the church bus on Sunday morning, going picking up small kids? And I remember, and I hate to say this, but I remember hearing two or three reply, you want me to take one of my only free days and go out of my way to pick up some snotty-nosed kids up a holler somewheres? But wait a second. I'm thinking, wait a second. God went out of his way to help you. You're not, you know, I mean, are you with me? Amen. This scripture implies that God would go out of his way. God said, you haven't done it. He said, but I will. I'll go out of my way. Amen. One of the first examples in the Bible, of course, is Adam. In Genesis chapter 3, not this Adam, but Adam in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and his wife sinned. Amen. We know the story very well, but one of the great things that we think Brother Jonathan taught more on provision this morning, and God will go out of his way, he said, to find a way to bless you. I've come to tell you, even when you've done wrong, even when you've went astray, even when you're not done what you should have done, the Bible, amen, in Genesis 3 implies that though Adam should have went, Brother Morris, out looking for God, amen, to confess his sin, but he did not do that. He went and hid himself, and the Bible said that God came walking in the cool of the day, and he did walk. He went out of his way, and he went looking for Adam. Amen. I'll tell you, amen, it wasn't a run to do swift judgment, but it was a God of mercy, a God that goes out of his way. Amen. A little bit later in the Bible, you find a man by the name of Abraham. Amen. God wanted a nation to be a God over. And so God said, well, in order to have a nation, I need a people. In order to have a people, I need a tribe. In order to have a tribe, I got to have a family. In order to have a family, I got to have a man. So God went out of his way. Amen. Abraham wasn't a friend of God when Abraham was first spoken to by God. Abraham come from a pagan background, but God had greater plans for the end of the life of Abraham, just like you and just like me. When God found us, some of us wasn't worth, amen, the ground we was walking on. Some of us had, amen, done wicked and vile things, but God in his love went out of his way, amen, to just find you. Amen. Help me, I got a lot to cover this morning. Amen. You know, you don't know what God wants when he calls you out to start with. Amen. There's some people, amen, you know, that were just absolutely drunks and alcoholics and prostitutes and filled their life with just dreadful, sinful things. Amen. And I heard even like Brother Houston, you think of Brother Houston, and we see this man as a holiness preacher and sweet and kind and just a precious Christ-like spirit. But I've also heard Brother, amen, Houston tell about singing in those bars and nightclubs when he was a lost man and God called him out, went out of his way, amen, to save a man like Brother Houston. Amen. Why? Because God knew the future, amen, and God had a plan for his life. God went out of his way. Has God ever went out of his way to help you? Huh? Amen. We've got a God that will go out of his way. I mean, when you've had one of the worst days of your life, Sister Letha, and your washing machine tears up, amen, God will go out of his way just to help you with a washing machine. Amen. If you're a visitor, you probably don't know anything about that, but if you're home folk, you know where I'm at with that. God goes out of his way even when you ain't done right. Sometimes God will just show up when you feel like a worm, when you feel so unworthy, when you feel undeserving. You ever felt like that? You ever falter? You ever fail? You ever find yourself, amen, not where you need to be, and then all of a sudden God just shows up driving down the road, come to a church service, and the Holy Ghost come on you, and you just feel the warmth of God's love in his arms wrapped around you. Amen. Just telling you how much he loves you. When you feel about that tall, when you feel like you need to just crawl under a rug, and you wonder, God, why do you even show up? You know what it is? It's saying God will go out of his way. Amen. Even when you went out of the way. Amen. God will come looking for you. Amen. God will go out of his way to find you and rescue you. Even when you're walking away from God, how many times have we heard backsliders or people that came back to God
or tell experiences how they got cold on God. And the entire time they're walking away, the entire time they're leaving the house of God, God's wooing them. God's letting him feel his touch. And what's he trying to say? God's trying to say, I'm not going to abandon you. Amen. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I love you. I'm here with open arms. Amen. Does that sound too good to be true? Amen. We almost talk like sometimes God is a God with a club up there, and if you don't do right, it's just going to pop you one. Amen. We'd all have knots on our head. We'd all have knots on our head. Sister Jewel's grinning. We'd all have knots on our head if God was like that. But he's not like that. Amen. Oh, yes, you don't suffer sin and allow sin to get by. But I'm telling you, when you've done wrong, when you even went astray, I want you to notice this. I looked at some verses last night and researching a little bit of this. Amen. And there's a scripture found in Matthew 18 and 17. It says, if a man having 100 sheep and one of them gone astray. Now I want you to catch that word astray. When one of them go astray, you know, some folks will say that's just good enough for him. He knew better to be out there to start with. But that's not the mentality of God. Amen. God's mentality is if one go astray, I'm going to leave the 99 and go with into the mountains. Luke says it's the wilderness, and do what? And seek that which is gone astray. Amen. You ever have people come to church and you almost get tired of them because they in and out, in and out, in and out. You almost just sort of get fed up with them. You ought to just, bless God, get in or get out and just get a little attitude. Amen. But I got a feeling that God don't get an attitude. God says, amen, he'll go out of his way. How many times have you went astray? Amen. No, it maybe never came public, but how many times have you faltered? How many times have you failed? How many times do you do, amen, something that you regretted and you felt was stupid and you knew you just made a terrible mistake, but yet the hand of God's mercy and his love, not that he was condoning the sin by any means, but he was trying to salvage the soul, and God went, amen, out of his way to help you. God's saying in Matthew 18, other words, I'll leave the stars of heaven to come and search for the souls bound by hell. Amen. Notice with me, John. You remember John, don't you, in the New Testament? When John was there at the river baptizing, and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which doeth what? Which taketh away the sins of the world. Later in the Bible, in John's life, John's in prison. And John is not screaming out, behold the Lamb of God. But you find John, because of his prison experience, out of a sudden questioning and maybe having second thoughts, if you will, and a little doubtful. And John sends some of the disciples to Jesus and asks Jesus, is he the one, or shall we look for another? Now watch God go out of his way in that story. John's disciples come to Jesus and told him the question, John wants to know, are you the one, or should we look for another? Now, if that would have been us, we would have answered, you go tell John, amen, he proclaimed who I was out there on the riverbank, and my God, he ought to do it now. I mean, we'd have probably been a little harsh with John. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We'd have been saying, my Lord, you declared to the whole hillside, amen, I'm the Lamb. Amen. Does my identification stop because your structure, amen, situation changes? Do I become less because you're in jail? But Jesus didn't have an attitude, amen, about John's question. Jesus said, no. Amen. You go tell him. He knew John was weak. He knew John was discouraged. He knew John was battling, amen, with doubt. Amen. And he sent word back to do what? Amen. To calm every doubt, every fear that John had. I'm telling you, when God goes out of his way, amen, just to help you. Amen. I don't know. I probably just made me more happier yesterday than probably I'm making you preaching this morning. I'm telling you, I'm glad that I know a God that will go out of his way. amen, to come to my rescue. Have I got anybody here this morning feel like God went out of his way to help you? I can see a man when he's around the age of 40 and he kills a man. He becomes a murderer. 40 years later, he's on the backside of a desert tending to his father-in-law's, amen, sheep there in a burning bush. Amen. God comes out, speaks to him out of this burning bush. Amen. Watch God go out of the way now. You know, and all of a sudden Moses comes to that burning bush. Amen. You're talking about God going out of his way. That's a little different, huh? I never seen a bush on fire and a voice come out of a bush. Amen. I've never seen anything like that. Amen. But Moses, amen, was a murderer. Moses was 80 years old. How are you going to use somebody 80? Amen. I'll tell you something. God will go out of his way. And God spoke to Moses. Moses, I got a people and I need a man I can trust to go down there and lead my people out. God went out of his way. Amen. Just to call, amen, a man by the name of Moses. You know, it's God's nature to save. It's God's nature to heal. It's God's nature to help. It's God's nature to deliver. It's God's nature to encourage you. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell somebody this morning, amen, God will go out of his way, amen, to help you and to rescue. You might have walked in here this morning, amen, feeling like you're just barely hanging on. I mean, you got your hands on the edge of a cliff. All you got is fingers, just tips hanging on the cliff, and you're fixing to plunge off, and you feel your fingers slipping. But all of a sudden, I hear the Bible say, but underneath me are the everlasting arms of the Lord. Underneath me. Have you ever wondered underneath what? Underneath your greatest trial. Underneath your greatest problem. Underneath the greatest pressure, underneath your failure, underneath your discouragement, underneath your despair, when you feel like you can't hang on, amen, you be rest assured that God's hands are right there beneath you, and you may fall, because the Bible said, when I fall, amen, rejoice not over me, my enemy, for I shall what? I shall arise. Amen. God said, hey, I'll be there for you. I'll go out of my way. Amen. It looks like you're about to go under, but hang on. I've got my hand underneath you. I'm preaching to somebody. God will go out of his way to help you. Lift your hands and worship the Lord this morning. Oh, oh yes. Brother Earl. And you look at some situations and you're wondering how. You wonder how we're going to do this. How we're going to go through this. How we're going to make it through this. What are we going to do? I'll tell you how we're going. God's going to go out of his way. You watch God go out of his way. The Holy Ghost come in now to service this morning. Sunday school, Daddy. You men's class. Didn't the Holy Ghost come in here this morning? We didn't shout and speak in tongues, but he was here. Amen. Jonathan got anointed. And right about the middle of that little lesson, he come across, he said, God will go out of his way. I thought, whoa, Lord, you're talking to somebody. Because Jonathan don't know this. This ain't printed out of off of a computer. This is all 3 page of handwritten notes of my fat hand. Hey, sorry to say little hand, my little chubby hand yesterday. Nothing printed here. He didn't know that I wrote this down last night about 1 o'clock. Amen. Through the day and last night. Jonathan didn't have any idea. Amen. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost used him this morning. Amen. God will go out of his way. I'm sitting over thinking, I got this in my notes. My fist is right at the top of my page. I'm fixing to preach on God, a God that goes out of his way. So for the men's class, I got a feeling that there's somebody, a brother. I know you don't want to get mushy. You might not want to cry and let nobody see you. But I come to tell some brother that was in that men's class for the second time, amen, God God's going to go out of his way to help you. You might feel like you're just barely hanging on and you feel like you're slipping. But I've come to tell somebody there's a God that will go out of his way to help you. God will go. I'll tell you something. God ain't just looking for good people. God is looking for bad people. God is looking for hurting people. God is looking for discouraged people. God is looking for bleeding people. Amen. If you think God's going to help you just when you do everything perfectly right, you ain't read the Bible that I've read. My Bible tells me, amen, that when I've gone astray, he'll leave the 99 and come looking for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I have found that to be true. I found myself cold in my heart, cold in my spirit, cold in my soul. I didn't want to backslide. I didn't want to quit. I'm not saying that, but I'm just, and all of a sudden I found the Lord coming to me and helping me. And I would say, now, Lord, amen, I don't deserve what I feel right now. Anybody ever told God that? I don't deserve what I feel. I feel so unworthy. I don't deserve what I'm feeling driving down this road, listening to the songs on the radio. I don't deserve. No, you may not, but it's a God that will go out of his way. Amen, to pull you back in. Woo! You ever went astray? You ever did something that you regretted? You ever did something that's just real stupid? God said in Ezekiel 34, I'll go out. I'll seek after the sheep. Huh? Look at another man in the Bible, Elijah. When you think of the life of Elijah, you think of a man with real high highs and a man with horrible lows. I mean, you look at Elijah, he outruns the chariot 19.2 miles from the Mount Carmel to the Valley of Jezreel. He outdoes that, outruns that chariot. He just kills 850 false prophets. He ends a 3.5-year drought with a 63-word prayer. He calls fire down from heaven. Amen. Then some little woman named Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you tomorrow, and he gets out of town. You think, wait a second here, Elijah. Don't you just outrun that chariot 19 miles. You just call fire down out of heaven. Amen. You just ended a 3.5-year drought, and one lady opens her mouth, and all she says is words, and those words get you to running from God, or running from her, rather. Amen. What about it? And he gets down there under a juniper tree in 1 Kings 19, and he's having a little pity party, and just kill me, God. I just can't handle this no more. Just take me home, Lord. Lord, I just want to die. He's lying. He don't want to die, because if he wanted to die, he'd have stayed there where Jezebel was at. He didn't really want to die, but when you got to read in between the lines, he was saying, God, I need help. I need help, Lord. I need help. Come on. That's probably some of you have prayed. Lord, just take me on. Just take me on home. Oh, God, just take me on. But what you're really saying is, God, I need help. I can't take the pressure anymore. I can't handle this anymore. I just need a help. And how many knows God will go out of his way to help? Amen. God, just take us out. But what we really want is not God to take us out, but we want God to step in. We want God to step in our dilemma, step in our disaster, step right in our problem, step right in our crisis, and pull us through and come to our rescue. I'm talking about a God that will go out of his way to help you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Woo! We're pleading with God. We go out of the way because, Lord, I wandered out of the way. God sent Elijah an angel in 1 Kings 19 and 5. Strengthened him. Fixed him a meal and said, go on, Elijah. God went out of his way. You think about the Apostle Peter. Lied. Denied Christ. Now, if that had been the Holiness Church, it had been over. Lying preacher. Lying preacher, denying preacher. But I'm talking about a God that goes out. See, you can even sense it. But a God that goes out of his way. God don't condone sin. No, no, no. 1,000 times, no. Don't misread my statement. I'll tell you, when Peter denied thrice, and all of a sudden, somehow through the glittering light, Brother Davis, he seen the eyes of Jesus. Those eyes wasn't eyes of condemnation. It was eyes of love. And so much that it touched the heart of Peter. And Peter went out and went bitterly. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, he told Mary, he said, you go tell my disciples and Peter. He went out of his way. Peter wasn't no more special than the others. Huh? There was no difference. But he knew Peter had faltered. He knew Peter had failed. But he knew Peter repented. And so he was just going to try to give that little extra boost to just pick him back up. Huh? Amen. I'm talking about a God that will go out of his way. You probably never read Acts chapter 9 when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus with papers to slay the Christians. You probably haven't read that, have you? Amen. You think of a man like that, but how many knows there come a light that shone and a voice spoke out of that? God went out of his way. Huh? Why? Because he had a plan for the Apostle Paul, amen, to become Saul, to become the Apostle Paul, amen, to write 2/3 of the New Testament. God had a plan, Brother Kobe. God went out of his way. When you read the text here, and I'm closing in John chapter 4, the great, great text in John chapter 4 where Jesus left Judea, heading toward Galilee. Judea is south, Galilee is north. You know, when I was reading, when you read that scripture, you get the picture that, you know, here's Judea, that back door is Galilee, and you got the feeling that Samaria is way over here. But that's not geographically right. What was geographically right is Samaria was right in between. But the Jews, when they would take that route from Judea to Galilee, they'd always go around, take the long way around. They wouldn't go through Samaria. You getting this? But Jesus, the Bible said in verse 1, he knew, the Lord knew. In verse 20, therefore the Lord knew, he knew. And then verse 3, he left. Huh? And then verse 4 says he must just go straight through. And right in the middle of Samaria, I wonder why he stopped there. He went out of his way. Now, the story really doesn't end there because you can go over there to the book of Acts, and I think it's chapter 8 where Samaria has a great revival. So God had a bigger plan than just that woman at the well. Oh, yes, but he'll go out of his way for one. I said, he'll go out of his way for one, but God had a bigger plan. Come to the piano. Hope I'm closing. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know where you're at. You might be here a backslider tonight. You might be here a person that's cold on God. You might be here tonight, this morning rather, and you feel like you've went astray. But I'll tell you something. We have a God that will go out of his way to where you're at. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. I don't know which brother you was talking to this morning in the men's class or in this service right here. Lord, there's not a doubt in my mind that there is a brother here that you're talking to. They may have felt like giving up. They may have felt like there was no hope. They may have felt like, what's the use? They may have been